surprised this morning that you're glad for Jesus. I wanted to just spend a few moments this morning on talking about just the promises of God, just for a moment. You know, I sometimes, do you ever find yourself in a situation where you need to be reminded of the promises of God? Reminded of who He is and what He's done for you and what He's said over you, spoken over your life, and not just you personally, but what He's spoken over your life because of who you are in Him. You know, you're in a great position. Father, let us open our hearts to you this morning to receive your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit would just move in our house, in this house today, as we bring our minds and our hearts and our ears attentive to the word of God, which is living and which is powerful and which is sharper than a two-edged sword, and will divide and will discern. And so, Father, we thank you that it comes alive today. It's not just words off of a page, but it comes alive. It is spirit and it is life and it is powerful. And it will change our situation. It will change things in our lives this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, say amen, somebody. Hey. Come on, someone's when we got a few people away, you need a few more people coming into agreement and saying amen. And we're just thankful that we're able to bring the word of God to you this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthian churches, and he's speaking about how he came to them and how the gospel was preached and the word of God came. And he says, didn't come to you with a yes and a no, or a yes and a this and a yes and a no there. He says, and then it goes into verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yes and are amen. All the promises of God, not just some of them, not just a few that we pick out that are convenient for us, but all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen. Or so be it, or they come into agreement. They take place. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen. To the glory of God through us. And Paul is saying they come with this word comes, and it is never changing. It doesn't go from this side to that side, then question it here, question it there. It is yes and it is amen. To the glory of God. See, we were talking just last week about being rooted and built up and strengthened and empowered and equipped and living for Christ and putting our roots down and getting nourishment. And something which is very important, I believe, for us to do as Christians and when we get saved is not just to get saved and just sit there on the surface, if you like, but to put our roots down and make that conscious decision to build up ourselves in Jesus Christ. You know, put our roots down, being rooted and grounded in Him. You know, we reproduce from where we're grounded. We reproduce from where our roots are. You know, the seed that fell on stony soil did not take up any root, but the seed which fell on good soil put its roots down, drew the nourishment from the soil, and grew and produced a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. It's productive. You know, God wants our lives to be productive. He wants us to be productive, but demonstrating from the source, having a demonstration of Christ in our lives. Now, we demonstrate and we reproduce from where we are rooted. So, you know, when we're born again and rooted and built up in Him, you can draw from the promises of God. Do you believe that? That when you're rooted, grounded, built up in Christ, you can draw from the promises of God. For to you they are yes, and to you they are amen, to the glory of God. I was reading Bill Wilson's book, The Power That Changes the World. And he writes, and they're approaching life from the promises of God. Positions us for breakthroughs that others consider unreasonable. We were born to live a life in which the unreasonable yields to the power of the name of Jesus spoken through our lips. Do you need me to just read that again? Approaching life. See, I believe, you know, we all approach life from a different place, don't we? You know, we live our life and we approach things, we respond to things in different ways based on a number of things that have shaped our life. Could be things that have been spoken to us in our childhood. Could have been things we've learned at school or in our education. We could be drawn from a source that is, in the workplace in which we live in the peer pressure that we have around us. So we all approach life from a different place. But when we approach life from the promises of God, it positions us for breakthroughs that others consider unreasonable. We were born to live a life in which the unreasonable yields to the power of the name of Jesus spoken through our lips. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah, so I believe when we are people, when we open our mouths, having brought, if you like, thoughts into captivity, having been born again of the Spirit of God, when we open our mouths, we should bring words that change situations. Because our lips and our mouth, that which comes out of our lips is very powerful. What is it? It brings life and it can bring death. Now we can speak out words of life, and we can speak out words of death that bring death, bring destruction. Your words are very powerful. Your words through your social media feeds can be powerful. The words you write can be powerful. So approaching life from the promises of God positions us for breakthroughs that others consider unreasonable. We were born to live a life in which the unreasonable yields to the power of the name of Jesus through our lips. See, there are things we encounter as we live out our story in life that those outside of the kingdom, and many times people who are born again, who would call themselves Christians, who are Christians, born again of the Spirit of God, got a home in heaven, but they would seem to them unreasonable to overcome. God wants us to be a people who demonstrate faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You will never achieve what God has for you without living a life of faith. Because God has more for you to do than you can do naturally. You need to be able to draw on the resources of who he is and who you are in him. So all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen. He's spoken a word. See, the unreasonable yield to the name of Jesus becomes a reality when we live in the promises of God. It becomes reality when we live in the promise of God. God wants us, I believe, to be people who are consistently and continually living our lives from a position of the promises of God. Of what he has spoken over us, what he has spoken over us personally, what he has spoken over us in his word. If you hear from God and you have a word from God speaking over your life, you expect that to come into place. How many of you have had a word from God? You believe you heard God say something, So you expect that to come to fruition. You expect it to manifest. Usually we expect it to manifest tomorrow or immediately, but maybe it'll manifest in a few days' time, a few years' time. But as we build our life on the promises of God, that word which he has spoken over your life, if it's from God, will line up with his words. God's not going to speak a word to you that doesn't align with his word. You hear what I'm saying? And then as we position ourselves living from a position of living out of the promises of God, we'll see those things, I believe, come to fruition, come into place. Well, the unreasonable will yield to the name of Jesus. It will become a reality when we live in the promises of God. See, the promises of God have been spoken since the beginning of time. God has been speaking his promises. The promises of God have been spoken from the beginning of time. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? See, when God spoke the word and the world into existence, That's what happened. It didn't sort of think about it. Didn't dilly-dally on the way. When God said, let there be light, there was no other outcome than light. He didn't say, let there be light, and it became a dusk, a haze, a fog. He said, let there be light, and there was light. You know, when God said, let us make man in our image, there could be no other outcome than Adam and Eve. And then from that becomes you and I. He didn't say, let us make man in our own image. And he starts off with a dinosaur. Let us make man in our image. And there was no other outcome than Adam and Eve. See, when God spoke to Jeremiah, there could be no other outcome than a voice to the nations. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So it wasn't just some word which, you know, Jeremiah received because he'd eaten too much cheese or whatever, or because he'd been around a load of, you know, strange people or whatever. But it was a word that God spoke to him. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And we often, you know, many people would receive this word for themselves. And of course you can. It is for you. Don't ever forget that before you were born. Amen. Before you were born, before you were even formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Well, you say, well, I'm not going to be a prophet to the nations. That's not the sort of thing. I haven't got that sort of... You got a voice. He's given you a voice. And even today, your voice can be heard in the nations. How many of you have got people on your Facebook, whatever, Twitter, you know, Instagram, that is outside of the nation that you live in? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I had a purpose for you. I positioned you, or I ordained you a prophet to the nation. Well, no, I haven't been ordained. You know, I haven't had somebody pray over me, and I haven't had the ceremony. Like, oh, come on. You're born again of the Spirit of God. You know, you're a child of God. You, before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. Before you were born, he sanctified you. He has ordained you a prophet to the nation, to have a voice to speak. And Jeremiah's response was like, probably like most of us, unless you're really big-headed. Jeremiah 1, the next verse says, and he said, I said, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Well, how many of you know that, you know, I know a lot of people who are quite young and got quite a lot to say. Hello? And you don't have to be very old to be able to speak. So where does youth come into it? See, Jeremiah, almost like he considered the word or the yes of God to be unreasonable. You know, we may say, I can't speak because I'm this or I'm that. I'm not in that position. I don't have this place. I don't have that place. I don't have this. No, come on. You know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And I gave you a voice to speak beyond you. Well, I'm not a prophet. You know, you can be prophetic. I don't stand in that office of a prophet, you know, but you can be prophetic. Come on, each and every one of you. You've got a voice that you have been born, you before he formed you in the womb, he knew you before you were born. He sanctified you, he set you apart, and he's given you a voice. So we may say, well, I cannot because, and we have all sorts of reasons why we can't do this, we can't do that, we can't go here, we can't go there, you know, but come on, you know, you have got the yes of God over your life. Don't call yourself who you're not. You know, when God says you can, You know, don't say you can't. And you only have to read his word to hear his voice speaking to you and saying, you can. You can, 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 you can. We don't, not because we can't, but because we won't. Now, we make a conscious decision and decide that we won't. And we often give ourselves a lot of reasons, and we give other people a lot of reasons. But, you know, God's word doesn't change. His yes, his word is yes, and his promises are yes, and in him they are amen. See, when God speaks, there's an expectancy. There's an expectancy when God speaks. It comes with life. It comes with something more than just dead words. It comes with living power. His words are life. And they are power. They're spirit, and they are power. They're life. They bring change to situations. When God speaks, there is an expectancy. Can you imagine what the world would look like, or maybe even just the world you know, what it would look like if every believer was producing and continual and lasting fruit in their life? Fruit that has an impact now and goes on to reproduce. Fruit, you know, fruit comes with a seed, doesn't it? Fruit doesn't just come with the apple. Fruit comes with a seed. So a fruit, the idea of fruit on a tree is to reproduce. In many ways, it's a byproduct that we take the apples and we put them in our fruit bowls. But in that apple, there's a seed. In oak trees, there's seed, there's acorns that fall off. You walk under an oak tree, sometimes you'll see little tiny little apple oak trees just growing. Why? Because the oak tree has dropped the acorn, and the acorn has got itself buried in the soil somehow, and it has got covered over, and the moisture has come, and that has taken away, and little oak trees grow. So your life will be producing, I believe, a fruit that has impact now and goes on to reproduce. You know, goes beyond it. You may ask, you know, what does the fruit look like that is coming off of my life? Well, look at the tree. A tree is known by its fruits. Jesus promises that if you stay connected with him, then the fruit of your life will look like the source. It's not sort of rocket science, is it? People say, "Well, I'm not a theologian. You know, don't have a lot of understanding of doctrine, that sort of stuff." You know, sometimes we can get overcomplicated. The fruit looks like the tree. You know a tree by its fruit. So fruit has the fruit from our life should have impact, and it should, you know, impact now, but it should go on to reproduce. So, you know, we should not be the same today as we were, in a sense, yesterday or the day before. We should be growing and reproducing and life going on and things taking place in our life and seeing victory and seeing all sorts of things take place. So you ask, what does the fruit look like? It looks like the tree. Jesus promises that if you stay connected, then the fruit of your life will look like the source. John chapter 15 and verse 5 says, "I am the vine." Not an apple tree. He says, "I'm the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." He who abides in me, or she, he who abides in me, those who abide in him and I in them, those who are born again of the Spirit of God, allowing Christ to live in that life with him abiding in us, central to our life, you know, he abiding in us, us abiding in him, staying that, keeping that connection. "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." See, when you're living in that place of abiding, and God, church, you can't abide in two places, can you? You can only be in one place at a time. No, it'd be nice if we could be in two places at a time. Wouldn't you love to be able to be in two places at a time? But you can't be. Physically, you can only be in one place. physically this morning you chose to come to the house of God, sit in church here and just worship and meet with Jesus. You're here. You can't be somewhere else. Sometimes our minds maybe go somewhere else, but physically we can't be somewhere. So when you're abiding in somewhere, you can't abide in two places. So when you're abiding in him, and he says, if you abide in me and I in you, she will bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. When you're living in a place of abiding, and we have to consciously, I believe, you can't just say, well, I'm a Christian, you know, everything's going to be fine for me. We have to consciously live that life of abiding in him, keeping that connection, keeping strong, keeping in fellowship, keeping in relationship. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. See, when you live in a place of abiding, the promise is a yes and an amen. See, because God is committed to his word. He stands by his word. You know, sometimes, you know, you talk about someone and they'll always stand by their word. You know, that is an attribute I believe we should all have. People, sort of men and women, and, you know, young, old, whatever. People who stand by our word. Amen? You stand by your word. Wouldn't you rather have a relationship with somebody who stands by their word than somebody who is this way, that way, never know what's going on in their life, not what's going on in their thoughts, you know, not what's going on in their relationship towards you, how they're thinking. You know, people who stand by their word. God stands by his word. I believe, you know, as believers, you know, we should be a people just like Christ who stands by the word, stands by our word, stands by the word. And so God is committed to his word. But our thought life sometimes is abiding all over the place. That's why the Bible says it's important that we bring our thoughts into captivity and keep our minds abiding in him. See, he knows something that sometimes we forget about ourselves. John chapter 15, verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruits. Be like Nehemiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. And I set you apart, I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 6, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So come on, you know, it's not something we should have to decide, well, I want to be one of those who bears fruit. He says, Don't ever forget. Yes, in a sense, we did choose him, but before that, he chose us. "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Wow. Recognizing that who we are, that we are positioned in him, abiding in him and he abiding in us. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit." You know, when you get born again, you step into a place where, right, you're here now to bear fruit. You're not just a sit back and say, well, I've made that decision now. I've got my home in heaven. You know, it's not just something we tick off our to-do list. He has appointed us that we should go and bear fruit, that we should be fruitful, that there should be, and not just any old fruit, but good fruit, and fruit which is like the source. That you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Wow. You know, what a place to be in, a place that we are positioned in, to whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, he may give to you. Come on. That sort of thing excites me. That the Word of God says to me, the Word of God does not lie. Sometimes we just take that verse, the last part of that verse, and say, you know, whatever we ask in his name, he's going to do for us. Yes, he will, but we have to position ourselves and bring other things into alignment. You did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. There should be something living after you that looks like you, which looks like the source from where you're drawing your life. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works," or producing fruit. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand for us to walk in." So he is giving us everything, and there's an expectancy, you know, as for us as believers from God to be those who are walking and doing and living in good works which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, sometimes we forget who we are and the promises that have been spoken over us. You know, when you got saved, I don't know where you got saved, how you got saved, but did someone sit you down and start speaking about you know, what has taken place in your life and how you're now supposed to live and what was available to you? How we're to stay connected? You know, that you know, we are now his workmanship. We are creating Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. We've got to start now walking in these works which he prepared beforehand. You know, we are starting to be, we need to start connecting ourselves in this place where we are seeing situations where we are bearing fruit. Not just, well, you got saved, well, go home and just carry on the way you live. No, there's that adjustment, there's that change in our lives. Sometimes we forget who we are and the promises that have been spoken over us. See, we bring our reason culture into a kingdom culture, and everything seems unreasonable. Sometimes we try and mix the kingdom culture with our reasonable culture. Sometimes we can be guilty of making the Christian life and our walk with Jesus become so reasonable. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your life, renewing of your mind. Message translated: don't become so accustomed to the culture in which you're in that you don't live that changed and transformed life. That's a paraphrase of the Message translation, because I'm not totally up here. But we try and bring our reason culture into a kingdom culture, or a kingdom culture into a reason culture, and then everything seems unreasonable. I've actually heard people say, that's a bit unreasonable. You ever heard anybody say that? When you talk about things of the kingdom and what, you know, how we're to live a life, and that's a bit unreasonable. See, we sometimes consider it unreasonable expecting God to do something incredible. How many of you know God can do something which is unreasonable? So we sometimes consider it unreasonable expecting God to do something incredible. We can't really expect God to do that. That's a bit unreasonable. That's a bit unreasonable. Expecting God, how can God do that? And then we consider it unreasonable for God to expect us to do something outside of our current frame of reference. How can you expect me to do something outside of my current frame of reference? How I live my life, my culture, the way I live it, the way my thought pattern, how I've always done things. How can you expect me to do something different to that? Well, maybe God is asking you to do something different to the way you've always done something. See, many people limit the power of God through them because they don't believe that God would have them do something outside of their comfort zone. Well, that's not the sort of person I am. Well, God has made you, the Bible says. You know, he has made us in the image of Christ. So there's not a lot that can be outside of what he would expect us to do. Don't limit yourself or limit the power of God through you because you don't believe that God would have you do something outside of your comfort zone. You know, we all have these comfort zones, don't we? Which, you know, that is, you know, I don't feel very easy about doing that way. I'm not used to doing that sort of thing that way. And yet I really believe God is leading me in that direction. Well, you know, believe God that he's able to take you from where you were or how you thought to where he has you to be. Now, Paul talking about the thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, and he wants it to be, he wishes it wasn't there, but, you know, it isn't. He says, considering this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. I pleaded from the Lord three times it might depart from me. Have you know what he said? Hannah knows what he said. Someone knows what he said. He said to me, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Because see, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. You know, my strength is made perfect, or my grace is sufficient for you, for my grace, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Let me quote it right. My grace is sufficient because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Then you see, we're relying totally on God. When we rely totally on God, he can have his way and he can have his will in our life. Don't limit God to your weakness. Don't limit God to your natural ability. Have you ever come across somebody and you see you have an expectation of them, and you maybe don't know them particularly well. You have an expectation of them, but then when you hear them speak, something else comes out of their mouth. Like, wow, you know. A demonstration of the power of God and the strength of God, you know, overcoming someone's weakness. You know, we surrender. We were talking about surrender just a few weeks ago. How important it is to be those who surrender everything to God and allow him to have his way and have his place in our life. Don't limit God to your weakness. Don't limit God to our weaknesses. You know, if we limited God to our weaknesses, there's a lot of things that wouldn't take place in the kingdom of God. There's a lot of people, when they have the call of God in their life, they initially say no. They don't consider themselves in that position. They maybe consider themselves, there's a weakness there which doesn't allow them to be, or say, be who God wants them to be. Or say, I don't feel called. How do you know we talk about the need being the call? It's amazing how when it comes to the kingdom of God, people will step into areas they never felt they were called into, but because there's a need there, and out of weakness, they're able to bring strength, and the power of God is able to just be manifest. Don't ever limit God to your weakness. Don't ever limit God to your natural understanding. You know, we forget that what is unreasonable to us is totally reasonable to God. What would seem unreasonable for me to do and unreasonable maybe for you to do, you say, well, that's a little bit unreasonable for God to do that in my life and this take place, but it is totally reasonable for God. And we need to maybe remember some of the promises of God. For the promises of God in him are in him, are yes, and in him are amen to the glory of God through us. See, when God chose you and when he appointed you, he made a commitment to you. He said you're designed to be fruitful. You're designed to make a difference. You're designed to produce fruit, and not just fruit that is there to have an impact today, but fruit which is to remain and have an impact beyond you. When God chose you, he made a commitment to you. He said you are designed to be fruitful. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 against, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand for you to walk in. Not just somebody else. How many times do we look at it and say, well, that'll be good for someone else, that'll be good for someone else, but what about you? For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand for you to walk in. For you to walk in. for you to walk in fear. He's speaking to individuals. He's speaking to church, but he's speaking to individuals. Because church is made up of individuals. He prepared things. He's made way. He's made room for you. You know, I believe if God prepares something, he prepares something. Preparing for God is not just a sort of thought that your last minute thing. Hello. Preparing for God, I believe, you know, God, when he prepares something, he's giving you all the resources, everything you need for you to be who he has called you to be. And we need to be a people, I believe, who really connect in and make sure we know, we have an idea, and we have some thoughts, and we have some witnesses in within us, those works, those good works which he's prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. You know, he's prepared them for us. We need to, you know, connect with his preparing and get into the word of God. He has provided everything we need for us to prepare ourselves to be part of what he has prepared for us. Sometimes we just look over and there's a whole different stuff we could talk about another day. But he's provided everything for us. Everything for us. And we need to be a people who are, I believe, earnestly seeking to prepare ourselves for what he has prepared for us to walk in. Do you believe that? Do you see, if we view the spoken word of God outside of our position, the word may seem unreasonable. But when we view the word of God through our position, it should seem more reasonable. But see, through our position of who we are in Christ, all the promises of God are yes, and in him are amen. However unreasonable, all things are possible. However crazy, however unreasonable, all things are possible. You know, we should be a people who pray and believe God and have the audacity to believe things and believe him to answer prayers. You know, the things which seem totally out of the way. You know, however unreasonable, all things are possible. His words are not like many of our words. Now, we throw a lot of words out, don't we? Now, some people throw out more words than others. We throw a lot of words out. We speak a lot of words. We have a lot of communication. We say a lot of things. But sometimes, you know, our words just go out there. You know, his words never return void. They never return void. His word never returns void. For as the rain comes down. I haven't seen much of that recently, but maybe we will soon. And the snow from heaven, please know. And do not return there. But they water the earth and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that for which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So the word that God speaks, the words God's spoken over your life, the words he speaks that we receive out of the word of God, they do not return void. They don't come back having done nothing. They do accomplish that which he pleases, and it does prosper in the thing for which I sent it. See, some of the fruit of Jesus' life on earth seem totally unreasonable. Don't expect the fruit of your life to always look reasonable. Don't expect it to always look reasonable within your natural reason. See, God's words and God's word to men and women of old seemed unreasonable. But there was an expectancy from heaven to perform. There's an expectancy from heaven for them to perform. So we see them and read about them in all through the word of God, but they're collated in Hebrews 11, aren't they? A lot of them. And that chapter on these great men and women of faith who believed the word of God. Who believed the word of God. Who are people of faith. Churches, I believe, should be churches full of people of faith. Amen? Yeah, someone said to me, many, not just once or twice, but several times, you know, well, you're one of those faith churches. And you think, well, is there another sort? They believe the word of God. That his word does not return void. It does accomplish that for which it is sent. There's testimony of it in the Bible. There's testimony of it in this word. And you've got testimony of it in your life, I know. Haven't you got testimony of standing on the word of God? Over and above what some ways may sometimes seem reasonable. It's full of men and women of old who seemed unreasonable for them to expect what God was speaking into their life, but able to perform. Remember, you imagine Noah. You know, Noah, God speaks a word to him about building an ark. Well, what on earth is an ark? We know what it is because several thousand years on down the road. But Noah had never seen anything like that before, but he had delicate instruction from God of what to do. And he didn't, and against all opposition, he did it. He had a promise of God, build me an ark. And I might save you and your family. Abraham had a word from God. I'll make you a father of many nations. The guy was 75 years old and he didn't have any children. And then from one man, and him as good as dead. Became the multitudes. At 100 years old. Every natural thing in him had dried up and shriveled up. The Bible says he had shriveled up loins. Yet God produces out of the totally naturally unreasonable the reasonable word of God says, I will do what I said I would do. Elijah on the Mount of Carmel says, you know, pray that it won't rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. What a stupid, you know, imagine somebody being expected to do that. He said, and then pray again. Gets in on his, puts his head between his knees and calling down fire from heaven. Totally unreasonable. Yeah, God does it. We talked about the story of Naaman just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, how 2 Kings chapter 5 says, do something, you got leprosy. Go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Don't expect me to do that. That's just unreasonable. And one little girl says, don't be so silly. Sometimes we need the mouths of babes and saplings. Did something which is totally unreasonable. And from a man who's not a young man, he ends up with skin like the skin of a child. Because he did something which seemed unreasonable. Jesus was totally confident that when he said, blind eyes open, that they would open. Because you're living out of that place of the word of God, the promise of God, in him our yes and in him our amen to the glory of God through us. Peter had no doubt in his mind when he's walking into the temple with John on that day, at the hour of prayer, that if when he said to that man who'd been crippled there for all those years, said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. What a totally unreasonable thing to speak. How disappointing. Well, imagine raising somebody's hopes and speaking such crazy stuff over somebody's life. This man, you know, he knew how to do what he did. And yet Peter comes along and takes an unreasonable word. It is unreasonable to man, but it's totally reasonable to God. Totally reasonable to somebody who is born again and filled with the Spirit of God, who has the power of God, who greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. Greater things than these you will do because I go to my Father. Yet total confidence in the word of God and the promise of God in him are yes and in him are amen to the glory of God. So is yes and amen. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And what happens? What happened? He rises up and walks. He had total confidence in speaking that word. So he speaks unreasonable words that have a life-changing impact. See, that's a kingdom culture, I believe. That we live in those promises of God. For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him are amen to the glory of God. See, unreasonable words with a life-changing impact. And I believe, you know, the world needs to see the what is reasonable get changed by the reasonable word. What seems unreasonable to the world get changed by the reasonable word of God. See, and when we operate like that, when we start seeing things like that take place, I believe the fruit, there will be fruit of our lives will point people to Jesus because it will look like the source. The fruit of our lives will point people to Jesus because it will look like the source. And I believe people whose lives get impacted and changed by seeing people looking and living like Jesus, their lives will get changed and impacted. See, there are so many people living in this world. You know, I see people frequently and I think to myself, if only Jesus could get a hold of them, or they would allow Jesus to get a hold of them, that the reasons and the excuses people have for making crazy choices and living, you know, seeing all sorts of heartache and all sorts of stuff going on in their lives is it just seems crazy, but we consider it to be reasonable now. Again, we put it down as this and we put it down as that. Well, you know, if we spoke the word of God, which sometimes looks unreasonable, and see fruitfulness that lasts. To be honest, it worries me when people can sometimes quickly get saved. And don't fully understand what they've decided. But when you see the fruitfulness of the what we consider reasonable being changed by the unreasonable, or the reasonable being changed by the other way around, you say, see, I believe the two work hand in hand and go. What is to us the working of God can seem totally unreasonable from our natural perspective, but from God's perspective, it's totally reasonable. And that's, I believe, where we need to change our thinking and change our attitude and say all the promises of God in Him are yes and in Him are amen to the glory of God. And the fruit, I believe, of our lives will point people to Jesus because it will look like the source. See, if there's no connection, there's no fruit, no kingdom culture, and then everything becomes reasonable. The kingdom of God is not a... It's reasonable to Jesus, but to the world it seems unreasonable. Is anybody here who could say, I need the unreasonable to yield to the name of Jesus? I believe we have a lot of things going on in our lives which, you know, that really seems unreasonable. I couldn't expect that to take place. It's so far out. It's an unreasonableness of how my life is looking right now. Got stuff going on in my life, and maybe even in your body, or and in circumstances around you, in relationships or whatever. They say, well, that's just unreasonable. I'm a child of God. Seems unreasonable. But what seems unreasonable will yield to the name of Jesus. Amen. Will give way to the name of Jesus. It seemed totally unreasonable that Noah would build an ark. It seemed totally unreasonable that God would speak to somebody and say, you know, you're going to have a child and you're going to birth a nation when you're 100 years old. But God has spoken, and His word never fails. And it comes with a yes, and it comes with an amen. I want to encourage you. I'm not going to ask anybody to come to the front this morning, but as we just spend a few moments in worship and allow the Holy Spirit to minister, I want you, if you've got something going on in your life, that you say, well, how can that be? How can that happen? How can that, you know, I know the Word of God, but I've got this going on in my life, and this challenge is going on here, and this challenge is going on there. I want you to confess over your life as we just worship for a few minutes, stand on our feet. And in a posture of allowing the Spirit of God to minister to you, I want you to remind yourself that all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him are amen, to the glory of God.